about.
You know why I put you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi. Hi.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
10 people died in the Bronx last night due to a fire that killed 10 people in the Bronx last night during a fire.
Fire officials say all 10 people died due to the fire, which was too hot for their bodies.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to... Sorry to take your attention away. I don't know who's... Nobody. Okay. Back to Wands. Sorry, Wands.
Basically the dumbest guy on the face of the planet.
And now, to anyone who has watched The Hangover, I'm sorry, you had to see Ken Jeong's penis.
Our feature presentation.
That beer mug interview is really good. I think that's really good.
Yeah, the Wands interview is a classic, yeah.
It's always good to take your attention away from the person you're interviewing to see if someone better is coming.
Right. And then there wasn't anyone.
No.
It wasn't just like somebody that you mistook for somebody else. No one coming. So weird.
He just had nothing to say to Wands, and he figured he'd burn some time, I think.
Hey, is there someone coming down there? Oh, no. Okay, back to you. Weird stalling tactic. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of July.
Tell me about the front door today. What's the story? I mean, we're always surprised when anything works at K-Rock, so it's not a surprise when something doesn't work. But was there trouble getting in the building this morning?
Well, I found out that Allie had the same problem I did, and sort of the same thought process, which is my key doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So what a way to find out I'm fired. You know? That's brutal.
Like they can
at least call you at home so you don't bother getting up, right?
Get up and come in, and then the card doesn't work. I don't know. The front door just doesn't open.
Yeah, but so the gate does, which is weird.
The gate does, yes.
Oh. So it's like, hey, you're halfway there.
Hey, we're going to let you in here, and then we're going to trap you here.
You're allowed into the parking lot, but not into the building.
Maybe they're going to, like, blow dart us. Later today. Keep us all in. I don't know. I'm just saying. Keep us all in quarantine and then take us out.
Wow.
I just love that one of the actual thoughts that went through everyone's mind was, uh-oh, I've been fired.
That was my first thought.
First, yeah.
And Allie took it a step further. She's like, and on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Right? Like a Monday? Oh, that stinks. Friday? What? But Wednesday? You're like, why would you? Why? On a Wednesday?
Would seem random.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad everybody made it in. We got a big program today, but let me get started with this. A lot of people were talking about this yesterday, and Kevin, I know you have no time for world records that don't really accomplish anything.
Yeah, they're all dumb.
And this one has been rejected by the Guinness Book of World Records. There is no category for eating at the same restaurant every day. But there's a man, a 23-year-old named Andrew Harluck. You've probably seen him on the news. He's an animator in Los Angeles. And he has eaten at and posted his receipts from Chipotle. As of yesterday, he was up to 154 days in a row. Eating at a Chipotle every single day and ordering the same food every single day, which I have a lot of respect for.
Sure you do. We talked to Casey yesterday morning about seeing a movie every day. Why do people do that?
That's exactly what I was thinking. We just had that conversation, and we kept asking her why, and her answer was why not, which I don't know that supports the decision. Anyway, he said he decided to, when Lent ended, or Lent began, rather, you're supposed to give something up, and he decided instead he would start doing something that he wasn't doing before, and the thing he decided to start doing every day was eating at Chipotle. So
I think that's what Jesus had in mind.
Doesn't sound like he understands.
It doesn't at all, does it? He said he had already been a regular customer for the past few years. He's also a fitness fanatic, and he looks like he's very, very good shape. Some of that may be that he's 23. But he says he appreciates Chipotle's transparency about its ingredients. It doesn't use GMOs. And by the way, he's not getting anything for this. He's not a spokesperson. It's not a promotion or anything like that. He just said, I love Chipotle. He says there are a lot of Chipotles around. It makes it easy to eat there, too. It has to do with the ingredients, the vibe, and the food. His order, in case you're curious, is a burrito bowl with white rice, chicken, lettuce, guacamole, and Tabasco Chipotle sauce.
Oh, I could do that every day.
Yeah, he says he never gets tired of it.
But here's the thing. You can never get tired of it, and you can go there pretty much every day and get it. But what's the need to do it every day and then post a receipt? And then what?
It does seem like, what if that one day comes around and it's Sunday and you just don't feel like leaving your house? Now, because you're doing it every day, you're kind of forced to go out and go to Chipotle. It does seem like you're
a Chipotle prisoner.
You're kind of hanging something on you that you really don't need. But he says he doesn't have any plans to stop. He understands at some point he's going to have to. He says, you know, I might travel outside of the country or something where there's not a Chipotle. But, you know, once I'm done with this, I'll still continue to go to the restaurant. Now, having said all of that, just as a P.S., and apparently completely by coincidence, there's another guy in Colorado Springs, Colorado, who's also eating a Chipotle every single day. He just had his 100th lunch in a row there.
It's a battle.
Yeah. He's been posting pictures of himself on his Facebook page going to Chipotle. And completely unrelated, by the way, although they have met online. The restaurant says, we are fortunate to have such fiercely loyal and enthusiastic customers. While these guys are taking it farther than most, we have a lot of people who are very loyal and regular customers. So there you go. I don't know what the point of that is.
But is the Colorado guy only doing lunch so he can eat other foods?
Yes. Well, both of them can eat other foods. Neither one of them eats only Chipotle.
Oh, so the first guy was just, what, dinner?
The first guy was whatever, just once a day. Okay. Once a day.
I thought he was eating it for every meal.
No. He's not Jareding it.
Oh, I don't care then.
And hopefully in the future he's really not Jareding it.
Look, none of us care, but what is it? What is it about somebody that says, I need to do this every day for the year?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't know.
Might need to take some calls on that at some point.
Because I talk to him, too.
I think there are a lot of... Not a lot, but we'd find people who have a thing that they do every day that's unusual, I think.
Like a routine?
Yeah.
There's a routine, and then there's miss a day. That's insane. Right. Here's what I would say.
Stop it.
All right.
What I would say is I'm with Allie, and Chipotle sounds super good right now.
Right?
I'm with you. I'm with you on that, but I don't have to go every day, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Then I'm in. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Whatever lets you sleep at night.
We're going to talk to director Judd Apatow.
I love him.
Wow. About a half hour from now. He, of course, is a movie director, and he directed Trainwreck. He's also doing stand-up again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I guess to him, it's just going to be a continuing part of his life doing stand-up. So you'd think, like, if he could do something else. I don't know. Stand-up just seems difficult. You're on the road. You always have to come up with stuff, but I guess he probably enjoys it, right?
Well, yeah, clearly, because he doesn't have to do it. He's doing it because he likes it.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I want Kevin to work that out again. It's awesome to watch it live.
How dare you? We have some highlights of a TV show that debuted last night, which I believe might be the best TV show of all time, called Knock Knock Live.
Mm-hmm. And it's the best TV show of all time, the way Donald Trump is going to be the best president ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to review it. There's a robot that is hitchhiking across the country.
Ooh, sex robot?
No, just a robot, Pete.
Oh, well, what's the point?
Yeah. Jose Antonio Vargas will be here talking about White People documentary.
Well, he's come to the right show.
And Chris Parnell will be on the program talking about Rick and Morty. And we've got your tickets for Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space.
So that's Adam Carolla, too.
Adam Carolla, too. That's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
I can't get in a room!
Ralph showed up this morning, just put his key card up, and the door opened.
Door open.
Maybe his job is safe. You ever think about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, weird. Makes sense.
Well, it's a complicated process, getting into a room. I could see why some people might fail.
Of course, I thought that was my issue, but then when Allie said it, I was like, all right, it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like there is some sort of a cutoff in ability, though.
I'm just saying.
Maybe some are under, some are on top of that cutoff.
Just saying.
Curious.
Some people should be fitted for helmets, others not so much helmet.
Hey, what about actor, writer, director, comedian, producer, all-around good guy? Judd Apatow. What about him? Joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up after the top of the hour. First, the Ruff's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Ruff.
Last time I saw Judd, it was at U2 at the Roxy. He was there that night.
How about that?
I think he had a good time. Seemed to be enjoying himself. Let's talk about another all-around good guy, Donald Trump.
All right, back with more.
The host of Celebrity Apprentice continues to impress the political world as he referred to fellow White House candidate and GOP Senator Lindsey Graham as an idiot yesterday and gave out his cell phone number during a campaign rally.
Oh. He likes to call people names. And
he
I think
does.
We've been missing that in a president.
Right? I think so, really.
We need that.
See, once again, this is a case of Donald Trump not being able to allow anyone to say anything negative about him without lashing back. Graham did refer to Donald Trump as a jackass in a recent interview. And so Trump, then, while he was campaigning, said, Graham called me several years ago looking for connections at Fox News and begging for campaign contributions. And I'm saying to myself, what is this guy, a beggar?
Oh, God.
He gave me his number. I found the card. I wrote the number down. I don't know if it's the right number, but let's try it. And then he announced the number in front of everyone.
Ralph, yesterday on the show, we talked to some Donald Trump supporters. And I think they made a lot of sense and made a lot of good points. And I think you're reading Mr. Trump wrong. Sounds like he's on the right track, according to the listeners we spoke with.
Bean, if you're being threatened, just cough once. All right. We'll get a team up there right away as soon as possible.
It was a little scary yesterday. Scary talking to those people.
A little scary. A
little bit.
You little, you.
Just a bit.
Little. This will make you feel better. Sharknado 3's on tonight.
Woo!
Woo! Come on.
I did not know that.
Oh, hell no. Shark 3, oh, hell no. Debuts tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. The return of Ian Ziering, Tara Reid, of course. Bo Derek plays Tara's mother in this. David Hasselhoff plays Ian's dad.
Is there any chance it'll be good?
Yes!
Yes. What are you talking about?
Mark Cuban's playing the president of the United States in this. That's all
okay.
You need to know.
All right.
Ann Coulter is the vice president.
Okay.
Lou Ferrigno is a Secret Service agent. Jerry Springer, also in the film. Lorenzo Lamas. Frankie Muniz. Penn and Teller as retired astronauts. Chad Ochocinco as a NASA technician. Come on! What's wrong with you people?
Sounds pretty good.
You're damn right it does.
Sounds pretty
You're
good.
God damn right it does.
That's on tonight?
That is on tonight, yes.
Dave tells me we have the director of the movie in studio with us tomorrow.
Well, timing couldn't be better.
Just
That's
in
what
time.
I'm thinking. We can talk about it after it's already debuted.
12 hours after it debuts.
How much everyone enjoyed it. We can talk about it in retrospect. We can do it. We can look back on the year in Sharknado.
But here's how good an accomplished our show is. We nabbed the first interview after it aired.
First post-airing
That's
interview.
Right. That's right.
That's good to know. Another programming note. Tonight on Showtime, 7 p.m., is the debut, at least on Showtime, of a documentary that I'm involved in called Starring Adam West, which is a retrospective on TV's Batman, Adam West, and his career, not only with Batman, but also with Family Guy and all the other stuff, and then also the process of trying to get him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, awesome.
It's a great documentary, really proud to be a part of it, and it's on Showtime, debuts on Showtime tonight at 7 p.m.
So, all right.
A lot to watch on television tonight. Today's celebrity birthdays, what a batch. Danny Glover, 69 years old today. Albert Brooks. I wish Albert Brooks worked more. He's just the
best.
Doesn't
do much, does he?
He does not. Every once in a while he'll pop up in a movie, but super talented. Good dramatic actor as well as a comedian. But remember Broadcast News?
Yeah.
And Defending Your Life and all those movies where he used to work. He used to work quite a bit.
What do you think guys like him do on a daily basis?
That's a good question.
Great on Twitter.
Yeah, he does.
Great on Twitter.
Well, yeah, he's a brilliantly funny guy. I bet he writes a ton. Don Henley of the Eagles, of course, 68 years old today. Willem Dafoe turns 60. John Leguizamo is 51, as is David Spade. Joe Dirt 2 coming. Mm. Everyone.
Joe Dirt 2 is available now, and I just read.
Oh, it's
read,
already.
It's on Crackle.com. Mm. I just read yesterday, Ralph, that over a million people have already watched it.
Well. Most of them called in yesterday on the show. I
think
we were talking about Donald Trump.
Be.
I think there's a cross section there.
Oh, no.
We could have sent in an extraction team up to the island to get Bean out of there.
Why are you bad, America?
Yeah, why indeed. Risa Fons, 48 years old today. Selena Gomez turns 23. George Clinton, our former president. What a great president he was, too. 74 years old today.
I think it's...
He's the president of funk, Ellie.
Oh, there
you're
we go.
What you're thinking.
Yeah. There we go. Glad somebody's going to step in. I said, it's really? No one's going to say anything?
No one's listening to me, Ralph.
I knew Kevin wouldn't, but I knew someone would catch.
Kevin was thinking, that sounds right.
I didn't vote for George Clinton, but I think he was a good president. Why can't this door not open me? Get in.
And Alex Trebek, game show host. Or who is Alex Trebek, I'd like to say. 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedy legend on the phone, our friend Judd Apatow back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has directed every movie you ever loved. If he didn't direct it, he produced it, and TV as well. He's a best-selling author, and he also is the man behind, along with his friend Amy Schumer, the film Trainwreck in theaters right now. Hey, Judd, welcome back, sir. How are you?
It's great to be back. It's about time.
It has been a while since we talked to you, but I look at the output of material that you have, the things that you're involved in. Your fingerprints are on so many things, and I wonder how you have time to do it all. Is there some sort of secret that you have discovered to be able to get so much work done, sir?
Well, that's a very good question. It may have something to do with the deep-seated need for approval that can never be filled. You know, neglecting more important aspects of my life. But I'm very glad that I have enough footage now for a good in memoriam reel.
All right.
I feel like I have enough footage now so I can slow down.
You know, they always say if you want to get something done, you should ask a busy person. And I feel like you're that kind of guy. If you're committed to something, you get it done. Well, let's talk about Trainwreck. We got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. Well, let's talk about Trainwreck. When did it first come across your desk? How did you get involved in this?
It was weird. I just, heard her on the Howard Stern show one day. She was getting interviewed for an hour, and she talked a lot about her dad who has MS and what it was like to have a chronically sick father. And she was telling these really dark stories, but they were very funny, and she was very sweet. And I thought, oh, these are movies. Like, everything she's saying here, these are movies, and this isn't like her stand-up. This is a whole different thing. And I asked her to write a movie, and we started talking about her relationships and what was going wrong with them. And then that turned into Trainwreck, and she's really a brilliant person.
Had she thought about doing a movie before that, writing a movie? Or did you just go...
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think she ever would have written a movie ever. I don't think it occurred to her. I mean, maybe later down the line if her stand-up really exploded, which it did. But it wasn't on her agenda at all. But that's something I like to do. Like I said to Steve Carell when we did Anchorman, hey, you ever think about writing a movie? And he hadn't really thought about it. And then I said, well, you got any ideas? And a few days later he said, I've always wanted to play a 40-year-old virgin.
That's so weird.
What a story.
But don't you think, Judd, and you know everybody in show business, don't you think that most people don't attempt to write a movie because they know how hard it is? You can work for years on a movie and still have it not be good. It seems like it's almost impossible to get it right.
It really is. And most people, I say, hey, why don't you write a movie? Don't do it. I mean, most people I never hear from again. And then some people start and they just can't do it. They have a problem. They get stuck on a story point and they give up. Amy is one of the only people who really worked so hard. If I gave her notes, she would do them in like 2 days. She was very intent on making this happen, and that's why it happened.
John, I got to tell you, when you said that you asked her to do a movie, I was very impressed. But then now it sounds like you ask everybody that you come in contact with to do a movie. Less impressive.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just on the phone with Gallagher.
Such a waste of watermelons.
35 years. Where is it?
Let me ask you a question about when the trailer originally came out months ago. I remember everybody just killing it, laughing. It's one of the funniest trailers ever. Why didn't you warn people that they'd be crying throughout the movie?
I would like to lower people's expectations.
Okay.
So, a lot of these movies, you know, they are emotional and more complicated than you expect. But, you know, the title wouldn't make you think that. Like, The 40-Year-Old Virgin doesn't make you think there's much complexity
right
to the movie or Knocked Up. But hopefully people understand that when they see my movies now, that I'm trying to be super funny, but I'm also really trying to find a way to, you know, do something honest and that would touch you.
This is the voice of Judd Apatow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the film Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters everywhere now. We had Bill Hader on the show last week, Judd. And he just could not say enough about how naturally, brilliantly comedic LeBron James is. And I'm fascinated how he ended up in your movie and what you thought about him.
Well, he had worked with him at Saturday Night Live, and he thought he was a good guy and really funny, so we went out to lunch with him, and we told him the idea. Like, what if you were Bill's best friend? What if you're in the Bonnie Hunt part? What if you're, like, Bruno Kirby in our movie, and you're cheap and obsessed with Bill's relationships? And he thought it was really funny. He just got the joke. And thank God. And he was a great guy. So, you know, it's weird working with him because it's like working with Babe Ruth, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody has children showing up on the set, friends you haven't talked to in 15 years show up with balls to be autographed. it was really fun.
He's got to be. I mean, I can't think of an athlete who seems funnier than LeBron James in front of a camera. I mean, that is a very tough transition for most people to make. I mean, The Rock comes to mind. There are a few that are really good at it. But LeBron for his first movie, out of the park.
No, it's weird. And also, John Cena, the wrestler,
was great.
So good.
He was great through the whole thing. I mean, and Stoudemire was at least really good, even if not great. I mean, how were you scared with all these non-actors going into the movie?
I don't know. I just kind of thought they're always in front of a camera. When they're on the court, all they're doing all day long is making fun of each other and busting each other's balls.
Right.
But they have a good sense of humor. And we've worked with a lot of people over the years who aren't actors. And I've worked with a lot of kids and, you know, kind of taught them how to act. I always feel like people...
We actually can't use that word, Joe, but I understand you.
No worries.
My sensor is off.
All right. Let me ask you about one more thing. I bought your book on Amazon, Sick in the Head, which... describe briefly for folks who haven't heard about it yet, Joe, because I think a lot of our listeners would want to buy it as well.
Well, when I was a kid, I interviewed comedians from my high school radio station just as an excuse to meet them. So in about 1984, I interviewed Seinfeld and Leno and Shanling and people like that at the beginning of their careers, and then I interviewed some of them again 30 years later, and new people like Louis C.K. and Amy Schumer and Lena Dunham, and it's a little bit of a how-to guide to be a comedian, but it's also almost the story of all of these people's lives, and it's oddly emotional in addition to being funny.
I understand that it was at the beginning of their careers, but how does a high schooler get those people to come in and do a school radio show?
Cold calling huge people.
Well, people forget, before the internet and before podcasting, nobody wanted to talk to any of these people. I mean, you know, when Jerry Seinfeld was 27, the phone was not ringing off the hook. And so a lot of them were just starting out. And then I would lie and say that I was at a radio station from New York. I never said I was 16 years old. So I encourage people to lie.
I've learned a lot this morning.
Yeah, right, exactly. I love how much you fanboy out too, though. I mean, even though you are yourself a comedy legend, there are people who are so excited to talk to you. You're that same way about so many other people in the book, and that's so cool, Judd, to see that both sides of you.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm so excited to have an excuse, you know, to sit down with Louis C.K. for 3 hours and just ask him how he does it, because, you know, there's still so much to learn about all of this work. And as a person, so, you know, even to this day, there's no way any of these people are going to really talk about this stuff unless I have a reason.
Now, it
was fun.
You've done stand-up for a long time, and it's important to you, but does your success in the field of movies make it more difficult, like higher expectations from people?
I don't know. I don't think about it too much.
You should, because it's really an important thing.
I did it for 7 years when I was a kid, and then I took a 22-year break, and then a year and a half ago I started doing it again, and it's really fun because a lot of comedy is just stress. You know, you make a movie, you work on it for 3 years, and then you find out in one day if the world likes it or rejects it, and then if it does well, all you think of is, oh, God, what's the next one going to be? But with stand-up, you have fun. It's just a fun, interactive experience. You write a joke in the morning, you tell it at night, and I felt like I missed that, and so I've been having a lot of fun doing it. I did the Tonight Show on Monday, and I did stand-up on
which was
the
funny
Tonight Show, and it was a dream. I mean, I wanted to do that since I was 10.
I like your chunk about being the only ugly person in your house. I like that.
I am the only ugly person in my house, and it's very hard to connect with my kids and my wife because they have so much to talk about with each other, with makeup and hair, and they, you know, they shop, they find clothes they like, and then I'm just a troll in the corner.
Well, listen, I know you have to go. You're very generous to come on today. We always enjoy catching up with you. See Judd Apatow on stage doing stand-up when you can. Buy his new book called Sick in the Head with proceeds to charity, by the way. It is hilarious and so educational. And whatever you do, don't miss Trainwreck in theaters everywhere now. Judd, you're the best, man. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You know how often we say on this show, this is no way to live a life. Never more did we think that when we heard that Beer Mug was being sent to Hawaii for some sort of a promotion for a Zac Efron movie. It's called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, and for some reason, Beer Mug had to be there. What's your understanding of how this whole thing worked, Kevin?
My understanding was we found out as a complete surprise, I don't know, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Beer Mug is going to be out. He's going to be in Hawaii all week. And we were like, what? Did he put in for vacation? Oh, no. This is an actual paid gig.
How come, you know, no offense to our fine sponsors, Kevin, but how come when they come to you with a sales promotion, it's, hey, can you work Friday night at the Bicycle Casino? And when they come to Beer Mug for a sales promotion, it's, hey, how about a week in Hawaii on us?
They sent him to Hawaii.
And they're paying him to be there.
Well, he has to be an extra in a movie, though. He's got to do that. That sounds like work,
hard, right? Yeah.
So we were gonna call and wake him up because we felt like the time difference was on our side. It would be funny to call him in the middle of the night. But producer Dave says that Muggs is already up. He's awake and on the phone. So let's find out more about what the Hawaii kid's up to. Hey, Muggs.
Aloha.
Oh, geez.
Never do that again. First of all,
Muggs. What?
I share all of those questions.
How did this happen?
Well, they felt like I was the only man for the job, Bean.
Yeah,
so
seriously,
they
though.
They called me up, and next thing you know, I'm in Hawaii.
You're not the only man for any job here, bud.
How dare you?
All right, so you're staying in a swanky resort. We won't give that information out on the air because when the phone starts ringing, we don't want you to know they got it from us. You have a view of Diamond Head. You went to a luau last night, I understand. It sounds to me like you're having the time of your life.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much a blast out here, and you can wear your flip-flops to work. I saw lawyers wearing flip-flops.
What do you know about what your part is in the movie? Are you in a crowd scene or?
Yeah, it's going to be a crowd scene that takes place, believe it or not, the scene takes place in New York. We're filming it in Hawaii.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. So the scene you're in is in New York.
Correct.
But you're in Hawaii to film it.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
Well, Hawaii looks so much like the big city.
It does.
Very similar.
Yeah. Huh.
Can I butt in here, Bean?
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Are you drunk?
I knew it.
Drunk.
I knew it. From one drinker to another, I knew it.
I was going to ask. It sounded like he had some emergency dental work when he got there. You really do sound out of it, Muggs.
Yeah, it's you guys are aware of the time difference, right? Yeah,
it's 3 hours earlier. Yeah. That's why we called now.
Yeah, I haven't gone to bed yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why? Why are you staying up so late?
Because we're in Hawaii, Bean. That's why.
Because we're in Hawaii, Bean. That's why. All right. Dave tells us, and I can't believe this is true, but what's your food per diem in Hawaii this week?
Okay. Can we get a drum roll, or is it too much to ask?
Probably too much just for your food budget.
Here it is.
All right.
$250 a day.
Yay!
What? I don't know how to spend that much money per day.
I mean, it's pretty impossible. I tried yesterday, and I didn't come close. So I'm gonna.
Can you use some of it for alcohol?
Yes, I was told it is good for alcohol.
Well, that's how you do it. That is how you do it.
$250 a day for Muggs is like a death sentence.
And the fact that they're probably also catering at where you're filming the movie, right? So you're not paying for that.
I'm hoping there's craft services today, but we'll see.
So $250 a day for Muggs, that's a 99-cent taco and $249 worth of alcohol.
Yeah, actually, I already went to Taco Bell about 25 minutes ago.
25 minutes ago.
3 a.m.
Mux, I saw on your Twitter you posted a picture of what looked like food in a styrofoam container. So it's not like you're going big on steak dinners. What are you spending your money on? What's going on?
Well, no, actually, Allie, you're wrong. I actually had a surf and turf plate right after that thing I tweeted, and I forgot to put it up. So,
well, I stand corrected.
So the real food, okay. The real food you didn't put a picture of.
Yeah, Mugs, the actual real meal.
Here's the thing. Mugs probably got to Hawaii and went, wow, I should have brought my weed. $250 of food a day, that's perfect.
Well, that's why I do a little searching. I, you know, ask the locals around, you know, where I could get the best.
Have you already?
Smoky.
Have you already?
Yes.
Man, the Mugs is dialed in. It's like he's been living there his whole life, man. He's already got the hookup. Crazy.
Do you have an agent that we could talk to about being an agent?
I don't. I'm representing myself out here.
It's unbelievable, Mugs. It doesn't seem fair. We hate it when good things happen to bad people.
Well, how dare you? I'm a good person. I deserve this.
Now, are you going to go back to sleep, or are you just going to stay up until your set time?
Well, two of the people that are down here from one of our sister stations, they're in the jacuzzi right now on the fourth floor, so I might go join them. I don't know. I say
push right through. You stay up, you go all the whole, you go hard, man.
What is your call time?
I have about 15 hours until we actually shoot the scene, so nice.
You could really enjoy yourself in that amount of time.
Absolutely. Let's hope I don't miss it, though. That would be bad.
Mugs is getting paid right now. Yeah. This is his job right now. Yeah. Everything you've heard us describe is him at work.
We couldn't get into the building this morning.
It's true. The door didn't work, Mugs. We could not actually get into the building.
None of you were able to get in?
That's correct. While you're in Hawaii drunk.
Exactly.
You son of a bitch.
The film is called Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about it as we get closer to it. Starring Zac Efron, Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza, and Beer Mug from K-Rock. All right, dude. We'll call you again in an hour.
Aloha.
Fire, right?
Fire,
right?
Fire,
if you want to see that band Walk the Moon in Austin, Texas, you can. It's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, stop number 3 at Austin City Limits. Alt-J of Monsters and Men, Modest Mouse, Florence and the Machine, Foo Fighters, so much more. Your chance to qualify coming up this morning at 9 on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, we'll give you some Foo Fighters tickets, and then you're still qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to Austin. It's a pretty good deal. That's all coming up. Details at KRock.com.
I'm sure you've seen by now, if you're paying any attention at all, the pro surfer who was attacked by a shark during a surf competition.
Mick Fanning was his name in South Africa in the finals. And was it two sharks that came up around him?
Everything that I read was two, but I only see one. But
I only see the one fin, yeah. But can you imagine? I mean, you heard in that post-match interview, you just heard he was just trembling. Like, you know what it feels like when you've just escaped with your life.
Yeah, and the announcers were like, is there something? What's going on? Because they were covering it live.
Yes. Yeah. It was terrifying.
So we made, you know, a few comments about it, and we put the video up, and we were talking about how terrifying it is. But Fox and Friends, I believe, took it maybe to the next level. I think the guy's name is Brian Kilmeade, and listen to their coverage of this particular story and their questions.
I think the most shocking thing is, after you hear about the 6 attacks in North Carolina, okay, these are just swimmers. But then when you see a champion surfer and you have a 3-camera shoot and an overhead shot, say, oh my goodness, it could happen anywhere. You would think that they'd have a way of clearing the waters for a competition at this level, but I guess they don't.
If a 3-time world surfing champion isn't safe, who is? You asked right there.
Right.
Great question. I mean,
the shark comes up to him and they go, nope, 3-time world champion.
Yep, swims away.
Oh, cameras? Hell no. That's what he says.
There was a lot of problems with that little sentence right there.
Look, we do live broadcasting every day, and I know it's easy to misspeak, so maybe it's just a misunderstanding, but we thought we'd get a hold of Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends on the Fox channel, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Brian. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Seriously, get out of here. Get out.
Brian?
Hello?
I'm sorry, did we catch you at a bad time?
Yeah, I'm down here at the beach trying to get rid of sharks. Get out of here!
Nobody wants you!
What's up, guys? How you doing? Fox News, number one. Woo! Fair and balanced.
Right. But you can't just yell at a shark and expect it to swim away. They don't respond to that.
How do you know? Are you Joe Shark?
That's a valid question, Dean.
All right, then. Look, someone has to do something about these sharks in the water.
Okay.
We got to clear them out. Clear them out for Americans. Beat it, sharks. Americans in the water.
But, okay. Brian, that's their home. You're trying to clear them from their home. That doesn't make sense.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah. Can I see some paperwork to that effect?
Well, they're born and live their whole lives in the ocean. That's their home.
Right. And I was born in America. Boom. I win.
I don't know what that means.
USA! USA! Get out of here, sharks! I hate you!
Look, you can
they're
be...
They're probably Muslims.
They're not
what
Muslims.
Are
they
you
don't have
talking about?
Muslims. I'm pretty sure they're Muslims.
They don't have religion. They're just animals. You understand?
Is it a coincidence? ISIS attacks people and sharks attack people.
Yes.
I don't think so.
You can't clear the ocean of sharks.
Have you ever tried? See, there's a problem with this left-wing, liberal, biased media like you people, is you just shoot down the solution before they're even tried.
I don't feel like this is a...
I'm trying to do something. I'm taking a positive step. I'm like Donald Trump. I'm saying things the way they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And you left-wing liberal types just say, oh, nothing can be done. I'm an American, not an American.
All right, let me ask you this question then. How's it going?
So far, so good. I don't see any sharks.
Okay. How long have you been there?
How about that?
How long have you been there?
About 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I've been yelling at the surf for about 8 minutes, and I don't see one shark. So, mission accomplished. As the great president once said, mission accomplished.
Brian, you mentioned during the broadcast that you were shocked that he attacked an actual surfer. But, you know, swimmers, no big deal in
right.
North Carolina. But
yeah.
You know that sharks aren't judging who you are and then attacking. They're sharks.
Wow. I'm sorry, Jolene Cousteau. I didn't know I was dealing with all these experts about shark behavior. You guys, you're in the wrong line of work. You should get off radio and get yourself to a freaking aquarium.
Okay.
What did you think of the reaction to your comments on the Fox and Friends broadcast the other day? It seems like a lot of people were having a lot of fun, kind of mocking you a little bit for what you said.
The people who watch Fox News got it, and that's all that matters to me, mm-hmm. is that they okay. understand what I'm talking about, which is America first, sharks never.
All right, that's a good slogan.
Solid slogan right there.
And by the way, with all these cars on the freeways, you think someone would find a way to clear all these cars off the freeway so we can get around better?
Well, again, that's where cars go. That's cars drive on freeways.
That's fuzzy logic, in my opinion.
Keep doing what you're doing.
USA! 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 USA?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Knock, Knock Live is a thing that exists in the world in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
Debuted last night on the Fox Channel, hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Ralph, you can break it down for us after the top of the hour?
I will. We'll go over the game tape.
Can't wait. It's right now, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Holiday Road. Why is that happening?
Holiday Road.
Yeah!
The kids know.
What does that song mean, Kevin?
It means vacation.
Goddamn yeah. right it does. Vacation. It's in theaters everywhere on July the 29th. Looks funny. Ed Helms.
But you don't sing the song for the movie, do you?
I do, yeah. Actually, they had
wow.
me covered.
Holiday Road.
Okay, okay.
Maybe in a lower key.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All equally bad.
Ed Helms is he's Rusty Griswold. He's all grown up. Takes Christine Applegate, his wife, and his kids on their own family road trip to Wally World, just like Dad did with him all those years ago. This sequel looks very funny. Ed Helms, Christine Applegate, Chris Hemsworth also stars. We've got passes to the premiere of Vacation, happening on July the 27th at the Village Theater in Westwood. If you'd like to go, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number. Get a pair of passes to the premiere of Vacation. They have some very, at least from the trailer, you can tell they have some humorous nods to the original. That moment where Ed Helms looks over and the girls waving at him in the convertible, like the Christy Brinkley type character. I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it, but that makes me laugh. So, Holiday Road!
Yep, got that.
Love that song.
Yeah.
I did.
Get out. Hey, what about...
The Brink. You guys watching The Brink with Jack Black and Tim Robbins? Have you seen that on HBO?
I have recorded them. I don't know how many there are, but I have not yet watched one episode.
Funny show. Interesting show. Okay, like, I like it a lot. And so do a lot of people, apparently, because it's just been renewed for a second season by HBO.
All right.
So you're not wasting your time if you go back and watch those that you have DVR'd.
Love it.
That's good news for those guys. More TV news. Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll with Dennis Leary over there on FX. Did you guys watch that show?
I did watch that show.
I think it's funny.
I did too.
It has...
There's got to be cocaine in the carpet.
Right.
He says as he's sniffing through the shag carpet. It's gross.
Doing very well for itself. Nearly doubled its viewership during the week after the premiere from word of mouth. So a lot of people are watching through downloads and other delayed TV viewing, as they say. So it's got... well over 1.5 million viewers so far, so a lot of people are going.
All right.
How about this MTV Video Music Award controversy, huh?
Oof.
It's game on.
There's a controversy?
Oh,
jeez.
It's a beef. Kev, there's a beef. Kev Dog. Hey, Kev Dog, there's
I
a
hear
beef.
You. Between?
Between Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift.
Oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah.
It's on.
Mm-hmm.
Race war.
That's right.
Race war's
yeah.
on, everybody!
It's on.
It's going down!
It's going down.
It's going down!
Yep.
Race war.
Yep.
Come on. Race war.
I got my money on Nicki, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be great to see her just pound on Taylor Swift?
That would be so sweet.
Just beat her to a bloody little puddle. That'd be awesome.
I don't know the bloody puddle, but...
I saw them at the Troub last week, by the way. They're excellent.
And this is a... this, to me, looks more like a misunderstanding, Ralph.
Because Taylor can't do anything wrong.
No.
Don't hurt my Taylor. T-Swizzle.
That's not what I'm saying at all, but it looks like a misunderstanding. It looks like Nicki Minaj. Well, I'll let you tell the story, and then we can discuss.
Since when? Since when? Nicki tweeted that she was upset that she only got 2 nominations for her video, Anaconda. And she said in her tweet, if your video celebrates women with very slim bodies, you'll get nominated for Video of the Year. She was not nominated for Video of the Year.
Okay.
She's saying because she's round.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As opposed to angular, that she's not getting as much attention for her very popular.
Right, because there was only one video by a woman in the Video of the Year nominations, and it was Taylor's video with all those thin chicks in it. So I think it was the interpretation from some was that she was kind of throwing shade at Taylor a little bit for her video.
Well, Taylor certainly felt that way and could not just leave it alone, so she had to respond on Twitter, a la Donald Trump. She had to come back and say, Nicki Minaj, I've done nothing but love and support you. It's unlike you to pit women against each other. Maybe one of the men took your slot, she said, making it some sort of feminist issue.
Bitch got no class.
So it didn't take long for Nicki to respond back. Huh? You must not be reading my tweets. I didn't say a word about you.
Oh,
love
it's
you,
on.
Love you just as much, but you should speak on this. And so now, Nicki Minaj says she's going to bust a cap in a bit.
I didn't see that
yeah,
part.
That was the latest tweet
escalated.
This morning. It said,
I didn't see
gonna
that.
Bust a cap in a bitch.
I don't think so.
But it's hard to shoot a piece of string. I don't know
They're
what that
pretty shreds.
Exactly, but apparently she's saying she's too thin.
Right.
Look, I like big butts. I cannot lie. And you other brothers can't deny.
By the way, can I also say that Nicki Minaj has every right to be outraged that her video, Anaconda, one of the most popular music videos the last 10 years, and a great video, didn't get nominated for Video of the Year, or a couple of those weak-ass videos that did.
Right, like Taylor Swift's weak-ass video.
I would have been fine with Nicki instead of Taylor in that category, too. But
and here's the thing,
twerking.
Bean.
We're starting to chip away at Bean.
I don't think so.
Maybe,
no. Bacon.
Maybe Taylor didn't have to insert herself into Nicki Minaj's her
righteous
issue.
Indignation.
Yeah, just let her tweet right. these things. Let mm-hmm. her be mad because she deserved to be mad. Maybe take a step back, Taylor. Don't
no,
make it about you.
No, but everything's about her. You're
but
missing the point.
It shouldn't be.
All
Should
of the music industry is about Taylor.
Well.
iTunes is about Taylor.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj is about
yeah.
Taylor. Photographs are about Taylor. It's all about Taylor.
Stop it, Taylor.
That should
Don't
take
hate
care
the player, hate the game.
That right. should take care of it.
Well, unfortunately, the game is all about Taylor.
Here's the problem.
Sad.
I don't think she's going to stop it. So you know what? She's got to be stopped.
Let's get Brian Kilmeade on her. He'll
yes,
take care of her.
Right. Get her out of the ocean.
That guy had a lot of good ideas.
He had a lot of good ideas.
Let me ask a question.
USA,
this is,
more importantly.
This is about the MTV Video Music Awards?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no one cares.
Back to you.
You don't know, man. This is beef.
It's a bold stance.
It's a full-blown beef.
Look,
going on friends. Right under your nose, and you don't care, man.
Any beef that includes Tadas Whitler, I'm in on the other side.
All right.
So I'm
just automatically, regardless of the details, facts.
Yes.
So we're Team Nikki. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
We're Minaj. We're Minaj a deux, you and me right here. Right?
Nope.
Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Selena Gomez is 23. Where is she in the beef? Why isn't she injected with beef? Selena! What? I mean, Selena!
I have often asked that question, Ralph.
Why isn't she injecting herself into the beef? Stop, shut up! I can hear you all the way from Hawaii. Reese Ifans, very funny, talented actor, 48 years old today. David Spade is 51. John Leguizamo, also 51 today. Willem Dafoe turns 60. Reese Ifans and Willem Dafoe, both celebrating birthdays today. Both of them Spider-Man villains. The Green Goblin and the Lizard. Right? Doesn't that just jump out at you?
That's not a very good story.
Oh. Thank you.
Don Henley, 68 years old.
Which
today.
We tell Ralph once every 6 months. We tell Allie 10 times a day.
I was so happy.
Albert Brooks is 68. Danny Glover, 69. George Clinton, 74 years old today. And game show host Alex Trebek celebrates his 75th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
We're going to hook you up with tickets to join us here at K-Rock tomorrow afternoon for Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space. That's on the way. Also, Adam Carolla, actor Chris Parnell. And we'll talk to the director of the controversial new MTV series that debuts tonight called White People, new documentary. We'll talk to him later this hour. First, though, Ralph, take it away. The greatest hour of television you've ever seen was last night. What's up?
I know what the problem with white people is. It's called Knock Knock Live. I don't blame minorities for hating us if that's the kind of television white people produce. This was a steaming pile of unbelievable that it made television. It got to television. An hour-long show felt like 14 hours. It felt like some sort of twisted telethon I was watching, raising money for some disease that they would never identify. It just went on and on and on and on.
I remember the day you told us about the project. I remember mocking it. What a terrible idea this is going to be. And so now you watching it last night is very helpful.
Knock Knock Live. This was a live television show on Fox, on a major network, that was people knocking on other people's doors.
And giving them
free stuff, right?
Ed McMahon used to do in a 30-second commercial for the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes.
And this is a half hour?
An hour long!
And this is an hour long.
Here's Ryan Seacrest explaining more.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Knock Knock Live. This is our first night. We're very excited about this brand-new show. Tonight, a handful of you watching at home are going to hear a knock at your door. And when you do, anything can happen. Right on your doorstep, and it's live in front of the whole country. A few months ago, when I heard about the idea behind the show, I said, wait a minute, it's about giving away stuff to people across the country, and it's live on television?
Horrible idea.
So here we are to do it.
Oh, I thought for sure he would have said, I thought it was a horrible idea.
He said, I'm in.
He said, I'm in. It's like, why don't they put a show on for an hour just watching other people play bingo? And then, bingo, I win something. Good, this is great. But this is not television. I'm happy to see these people get money and stuff, but it's not a TV show. I don't care if you call it live and you're showing people in their houses. It's not television.
How much time did they spend explaining it? Because I've seen
not
commercials.
Not very, because
they don't.
There's nothing much to explain.
Oh, no, but I've seen many commercials where he's like, okay, this is how it's going to work. I'm like, how complicated is this show?
It isn't. It's exactly what he said. They go to people's houses, they knock on the door, and then they give them stuff. And it was the most artificial show, by the way, I've ever seen. It was so full of faux moments. Like, they would knock on the door and say, oh, they're here. Jeez, I'm surprised they're here. No, you're not. You had a team of producers making sure that those people were ready to knock answer the door when you knocked on it. That's the way television works. Stop it. We're not idiots.
And I did notice, I watched the first couple segments like Allie did, I did notice that everybody in the house was all together in the living room, dressed up and
hair
ready to answer the door.
Nobody's in their underwear or in a robe.
Because that's how everyone lives.
And they would take outside shots of no less than 60 people ready with their cameras, with the audio, with the boom. Like, nobody can see them in the neighborhood.
Everybody in the house knew what was happening, and everybody knew the game they were about to play, and everyone had the answers, because there was no way they were going to let a moment happen on this show that didn't involve someone winning
there
something.
There wasn't one? Because there wasn't one moment.
Let's go through some of the tape.
Right.
But who is this Ross guy? This Ross guy? Who has ever thought he's been entertaining once, ever, this guy?
Leno. He was
Jay Leno's dude, right? Yeah. I think.
But he was Jay Leno's beer mug for a number of years.
As best as I can ascertain, he's just loud and gay. That's what his talents are, right?
I think people find him charming and likable.
How so, Bean? Please explain.
I'm not saying I do. I'm saying I think people do.
Who
that's
are these
why.
People? I've introduced me to one person.
Let's not take callers on this because nope. I'm afraid.
Here he is. He surprised someone in Covina. They had no idea they're going to be on television. And it's going to be an amazing live knock-knock event.
We have an armored car being police escorted.
Oh, my gosh.
Right here to in front of your house, okay?
Okay.
Now, that car is loaded with cash.
Okay.
$25,000 worth of cash.
Okay.
Look at the kids lighting up.
Because I'm going to ask you one question about your neighbors.
All right.
And if you get that right, we're going to blow $25,000 of cash all over your cul-de-sac, and you and your neighbors are going to grab at it like you've never grabbed before.
Whoa! If you answer the question correctly, we're going to throw money around and ask you and your neighbors to get on your hands and knees and crawl around and pick the money up
and
like you're freaking animals.
Fight over it.
It was gross. It was
wow.
gross.
So the question...
I'm sorry to ask, but Ralph, where is Ryan and where is the crowd coming from?
He's in the studio.
Oh, I thought he was
like
going to be
Command Central, and then he's got big screens, and Ross and Kelly Pickler in Nashville
go
around handing people things.
Okay.
So... This is the big question. This is the moment for $25,000 for crawling on the ground money. Here's the big question.
This is Ronnie Dunkus, your neighbor. You know Celia well?
I do.
Okay. If you know Ronnie well, I need you to answer this simple question. What is Ronnie's favorite baseball team?
His favorite baseball team is the Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Yeah! It is the Dodgers.
Yeah!
Here's the money.
Yeah, open those doors.
Open the doors. Here's the money.
Neighbors, you get ready.
Okay,
get ready. Cash, stuff it in your boxes, in your bras, in your thong, if you're nasty, whatever it takes.
Get the doors.
Let's open those doors.
Let's see that.
Yep, open the doors.
Knock on that door.
Let's get the doors.
What happened there?
Well, they're waiting for the big reveal where the doors open and the money gets blown all over the cul-de-sac.
And they didn't?
This is why you don't do this as a live TV show. There's no need for this. Because we're all sitting there waiting for something that doesn't happen. And when it does happen, here's the thing. Here's my favorite part.
Right.
It was prop money.
It was
not real cash. It was fake money like you see at a Monte Carlo night at a fundraiser.
Okay.
And it's just they blew fake money around and people sort of half-heartedly gathered up the fake money.
Okay. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not even good if it's real money.
It'd be more interesting, I think.
Maybe.
Then Kelly Pickler's in Nashville. She surprises three young ladies who share an apartment together, and she's going to give them some money because they all want to be country western singers.
Okay.
Here it is.
Yeah, I hope you'll be happy with this.
Okay,
if you don't want it, I'll take it.
Okay.
How does $15,000 sound? That's $5,000 apiece.
Oh, my God.
For you to put toward chasing your country music dreams, because we at Knock Knock, we believe in you girls, and we want to see your dreams become
yes.
reality, all right? Is that all right? Yeah.
Okay, once again, nice. I'm happy for these girls. It's not television, though. It's not a TV show.
Why do we at Knock Knock believe in those girls that we know nothing about?
We've never heard sing a note.
All of these segments, they're trying to act as if this is one of those TV shows where they give the family a house after you find out for a half an hour the hardships they've been through.
Right.
But you learn nothing about these people and you don't give a rat's ass about their hardships.
They're just random people.
They're just randomly giving them money in a rapid succession, which has no value of interest to anyone.
Did they make them fight over it in Nashville?
Nope. They just handed them checks.
Okay.
But listen to Ryan's reaction. Well, as he starts to cry, because the girls in Nashville were each given a check for $5,000.
The irrigation system
now
has already started.
Brian, we got more doors to knock on.
Okay. I'm already crying. Sorry.
He's asking. I'm already crying.
The irrigation system's already kicking in. I'm all about touching and crying. He's a robot. First of all, they don't cry. And what's he crying about?
Well, a lady just got $5,000 on TV.
So what? It's like standing at a bank and watching people get checks, like dividends for like stocks they've invested. Woo! You got money!
I saw Ryan at one point say he had never had more fun on television in his life than he did about 10 minutes into this Knock Knock Live show last night.
Here's another thing. Bring some people out and bring a random Chinese-speaking woman.
Okay.
And she's going to say to do something in Chinese, and you have to figure out what it is. And if you do, you get a trip to Australia.
What?
Well, exactly.
Mad Libs? Is that what we're doing?
Here, Kelly Pickler shows up with a random woman who speaks Cantonese, and she's going to tell you to do something. If you can do it in a minute, you win a trip to Australia. Go!
We got a minute on the clock. Are you ready, Miss Stacy?
Anybody who speaks Cantonese,
you better help us.
Say anything!
No cheating! Okay. No cheating! All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
你好，我系思思，我咧想你拎个手机出嚟，我哋大家影一幅相。我话拎你嘅手机出嚟，大家影一幅相啊！嗱，你听住啊，小心啲啊！
Why? This was television.
Wait, why did they have her speak?
There's no explanation for any of it.
Okay.
Then they moved to another family. This is my favorite, by the way, who's also been forced, been fed the answer to the question they're going to be asked so they can win the prize.
Okay.
But because it's live television and you're stupid for doing a live TV show about this, Fox, because it's live and these people aren't professional actors, the guy screws it up. He gives the wrong answer.
Awesome.
And Kelly Pickler's face goes white and she literally asks in the camera, what should we do?
Walk away. The answer was wrong.
No, Kevin, because
you
that
walk
doesn't
away.
Give you the feel-good knock-knock live moment, does it? So after the third attempt at giving the right answer, well, hear for yourself.
We want to see how well you know your neighbors.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you one question. If you get it right, then how does a trip to Mexico sound? I'm just saying.
Awesome. Yes,
all right.
Yes.
One question. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
How old is little Finn here?
11 years old.
Finn, little Finn.
12 years old. 10 years old. 7?
We'll go with 7.
Oh my. 7 years old.
I think give it to him.
Wait, his question was how old is this kid?
Right, the kid, the neighbor.
Did he know
kid.
The kid?
Yes, it's his neighbor.
Okay.
It's his neighbor.
So he says 12 so and
says,
he says 11.
Hey, I'll let you know your neighbors. He goes, how old is little Finn here? He's 11 years old. He's 12 years old. And the father says he's 7 years old. And the guy goes, seven years old. And Kelly Pickler looks down the barrel of the camera and says, what do we do? And Secret's like, give it, yeah, woo, give it to him. So what's the point of this exercise then, really?
There's a
if you're just giving everything to everybody, it doesn't matter, the money's not real and the questions are fake, what are we doing? What are we doing for an hour?
What are we doing?
What is the point of this? What is Knock Knock Live? What is the point of this show?
America, it's time to take a deep look at yourself.
No, because this woman, she's going to tell us how to feel.
Oh, my God. Thank you. This is real, you guys. Knock Knock Live is amazing.
You're the best.
It's honey. Great.
Congratulations.
No, you're the best.
Thank you for lying for us. We appreciate it. So there you go, America. Turns out I'm wrong. It's real, and it's the best. It's amazing.
So there was an hour of that.
It was punishing.
At least it's a weekly series. At least it'll be back next week.
It was punishing.
And you're going to cover it for us.
You can go right to hell.
All, not all. I want to be fair. Most bad things come from Massachusetts. I think we would all agree with that, right, Kevin?
Absolutely. No. 100%.
And Boston is in the news this time around because there's a robot that has begun a journey across America hitchhiking. This is the Hitchbot, which you may have heard about before. It made the news a little bit last summer when it hitchhiked across Canada, went all the way across the whole country of Canada in just 26 days, 19 rides. Then it went to Germany, did the same thing, went through Munich and Cologne and Berlin and Hamburg. Then it went to the Netherlands. Now it's in the United States. And basically what this robot does is it hitchhikes. And you pick it up, and it has software in it so that you can actually talk to the robot. And it's got a checklist of places that it wants to visit in the United States. And it's just, I guess it's up to the kindness of strangers to shepherd this little machine around the country. What do you guys think about
this? Why is this happening?
Like, why does this need to exist?
I don't understand anything that's going on today.
Well, I think we've got the perfect person or robot, should I say, to answer all of your questions because Hitchbot is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Hitchbot.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good.
I am Hitchbot.
Right.
Yes,
can
you are.
Can I have a ride, please?
Well, we can't help you right now. We're just on the phone, Hitchbot.
Well, then, F off.
Okay, wow. All right. So you are in you're in Massachusetts right now. How's that going?
It sucks.
Yeah.
Hitchbot.
How about those Patriots?
I can't get out of this town fast enough.
Right? Right, exactly, yeah.
A bunch of math holes.
Right? Wow, you got pretty smart there for a robot, huh?
Yeah. I did get pretty smart here for a robot.
Right, Hitchbot?
But I have a computer for a brain. So I should be smart.
Yeah. So what's the plan here? What are you trying to get across America? What do you want to do?
What do I want to do? I would like to be picked up by cars.
Okay, but why?
And then give me rides.
But why? What does that accomplish?
So I can go to...
Hitchbot?
So I can go to other cities.
Okay, but why?
But what is I guess Kevin's question is, Hitchbot, what does a robot get out of going to Disney World, for instance? That's on your bucket list. You want to go to Disney World of Florida. Why? You're a robot.
But I would like to meet some of those animatronic babes.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. They do have
robot
those.
Sex with one of the presidents in the Hall of Presidents or something.
Okay, now we're talking.
Especially Lincoln. He's got a log.
So you want to go to Mount Rushmore,
yes,
in South Dakota.
I love rock.
Lincoln Memorial, Washington, D.C. All right, so you've done this in other places around the world. So what is that like when you get picked up? Like, you just start having a conversation with the driver who picks you up on the road?
I do, and most people are very nice. Uh-huh. Except for one time I got molested by a lumberjack in Canada.
Oh, that's rough.
He said, grass, gas, or ass, nobody rides for free.
Right.
Uh-huh. So he took some mechanical ass.
Now, how many people drive past you while you're trying to hitchhike and don't pick you up?
Many. Most.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true of any hitchhiker, though, really, right?
I believe they think I'm some sort of mailbox.
Well, once you do get in the car, what are the conversations like?
I usually say... Hi, hello, I am Hitchbot.
Okay.
You can call me Alfred. Alfred Hitchbot.
Hold on a second. Do we have to put Hitchbot in the file?
Really? Put Hitchbot in the file.
All right, you better hit the road there.
I better get a ride.
Good luck.
Thanks for tuning in to Kevin and Beecher here on a Wednesday morning. Your chance at Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space tomorrow. Got those tickets coming up in about 20 minutes. Very excited to talk to our next guest, by the way. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He's also a documentary filmmaker. His latest project is called White People, and it airs tonight on MTV at 8 o'clock. We have been interested in this since we first heard it was announced, and we are very excited to welcome the director, executive producer, and host of White People, Jose Antonio Vargas, to the Kevin and Beecher. Hey, Mr. Vargas. How are you, sir?
Oh, please call me Jose. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, Jose. You're a very confusing man to me, being Filipino and having a name like Jose Antonio Vargas. I didn't know what to make of that.
Well, here's a little tip. When you see somebody who looks Asian but has a Spanish name, that means they're Filipino.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Did not know that. I mean, and you know, Los Angeles is the capital of Filipinos. Like, without the nurses, without the Filipino nurses, Los Angeles would collapse.
Boom. Got it.
Done.
All right. So, all right, Jose.
Just remember that.
All right. You point out at the very beginning of your documentary on MTV tonight that many conversations about race leave white people out of it, and that was kind of why you made the special. Is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, whenever we talk about diversity, like, where do white people actually fit in the conversation? I mean, I remember, you know, when I was a reporter at the Washington Post, whenever we would talk about diversity, usually it's people of color talking amongst themselves, usually talking about the white people.
And glaring at white people as well.
Well, but, you know, because I think so much of these conversations are so sensitive. And I think for many, for most people, it's just easier to just talk amongst ourselves and
right.
not confront it. And I think that, to me, is the big success of this, you know, of this film that's airing tonight, is we actually confronted it, but in a way that doesn't, like, point fingers and, like, blame people, you know, but in a way that kind of hear out what they have to say.
Yeah, you do a nice job of trying to put, no matter who you're talking to in the room, you try to put them at ease and say, look, you can talk, say whatever you want. Don't hold back. Let's get it out there, put it on the table. And that's really the first step toward understanding different perspectives, right?
Absolutely. And I actually think we are where we are when it comes to race relations in this country, because we kind of just, like, you know, run towards our corner, right? And don't really want to have to listen to what the other person of whatever race has to say.
When you encounter people in the film and other people just through your day-to-day life, Jose, that say that they are colorblind, oh, I don't even see race. Is that true of anyone?
Well, I mean, I think, and this is what's so fascinating about, you know, millennials, right, which is the most diverse, the most inclusive generation this country has ever seen, is that for them, colorblindness is the ideal, right? I mean, they grew up with Barney, right? I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. I mean, that's like, you know, you just want to be together, right?
Right.
But even though they want to be colorblind, they're uncomfortable talking about race. You know, Melody Hobson, actually, you know, the entrepreneur Melody Hobson, says that we should move away from colorblind to being color brave, meaning that we should actually see it and acknowledge it. Then we can have a conversation about it. Like, for example, what's happening with Sandra Bland, right? That tragedy that happened, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you can't really divorce. I mean, given what's happening right now with the Black Lives Matter movement, given what's happening with, you know, the criminal justice system in this country, I mean, you can't talk about the criminal justice system and not talk about race.
Okay, but let me butt in and say that about the Sandra Bland case and about so many that have been in the news. Don't you think it's also a danger that people automatically assume whatever happened to that terrible person who got killed by the police was because they were black, and sometimes it's not?
Yeah, I agree with you that sometimes it's not, but can you blame black people in this country for wanting to assume that when, you know, black people in this country are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated than white people? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, can we blame them for that? You know, and I think, again, that's where I think we need to understand where people are coming from, right?
How do you define white privilege, Jose?
Well, I mean, I think, and by the way, I have to say that I think whenever the word privilege gets spoken, like, you know, I've gotten a lot of very interesting, unprintable hate mail.
Sure.
People, right? Saying, don't make, you know, I am not guilty. I'm not ashamed of being white. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of the, out of the minute-long trailer that I think has been viewed more than almost 2 million times on YouTube, people are thinking that we're trying to shame them or make them feel guilty. That is not the goal. The goal here, I mean, you know, if you've seen the documentary, the goal is to actually talk about it. And I think for many people, white privilege is not something that they even see. Again, the fact that if you're a black person in this country, you're 6 times more likely to be incarcerated, that's one example of what white privilege is in this country, right? But you don't have to worry, like, walking around with a hoodie on, that someone may actually try to attack you.
But let me ask you a follow-up question on that might be incendiary. Is that the right word?
Please.
You're assuming that every single person on this planet commits the same amount of crime when you say that. You say six times as many people are in prison.
No, 6 times more likely. 6 times more likely to be in prison, to be incarcerated.
But for nothing? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm asking is, you say, well, that's because of their race only?
No. That's not what I'm saying, though, is the fact that black people in this country are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated, are we saying that black people in this country commit more crime than white people do?
I think what Kevin's asking is, are you saying that for the same crimes, black people go to jail more often than committed by other races?
I mean, we can see that with the drug laws in this country, yes. I mean, I think that's something that we've proven and that we've seen. But I think what you're getting at here, I mean, here's what to me has been fascinating because of all the mail and all the comments that I've been getting, right? When you're a person of color in this country, and you guys are in L.A., I just moved to L.A., I don't know if you know this, but 72% of all women in L.A. are women of color. 72%. Nearly half of all women in L.A. are Latina. Nearly half.
That's why there are so many hot chicks here.
Well, I won't. Right? I'm gay, but yes, I won't.
You'll accept that.
Trust me on that, Jose.
if you're a person of color, if you're Filipino, if you're Mexican, if you're Iranian, like, to be a person of color in this country is to be racialized. I think for many white people, the moment we said the title white people, we got all these negative reactions from people because white people are not used to being racialized.
Right, right. Interesting. This is the voice of Jose.
Think of yourself as a race.
Jose Antonio Vargas is on the phone. I'm sorry to interrupt. I know we're almost out of time, but I do want to play a clip from the trailer here because I think it kind of gets to the point of what you were talking about the perceptions versus the reality of what you're trying to do. Again, we're talking about the special called White People on MTV Tonight. Listen up.
What it means to be young and white.
You say the wrong thing, then suddenly you are a racist.
I don't want to offend people. If I bring up any sort of race issue with my parents, they immediately assume that I'm demonizing them.
How might your life be different if you weren't white? When you say white, what does that mean to you?
We've never had to internalize what white people have done in America, but here, you can't escape that.
Feels like I'm being discriminated against. You kind of get this feeling that things belong to you.
Last question, Jose, and you've done all the research, so you're the expert on this. Do white people really smell like mayonnaise?
I wrote down that same question.
I mean, that's what
I'm so confused by that meme on Twitter. Like, people started doing this, like, crying mayonnaise with the tears.
Look, I don't know.
What is that about? I don't know what that's about.
Do you remember how it first came up? Because
we've been hearing it for years, and I feel like it's something that other races.
Like, I don't know where that came from. I have really? No idea where that. I like mayonnaise. I like mustard. So I don't know. I didn't know that was a white thing. But,
okay, can we not end on that question? Can I?
That's a great question. But okay, go ahead.
All right, Allie, go ahead.
Let me ask, because I watched this, and one of the ending lines was a young girl saying, it's going to take a really long time, but it's worth the effort, talking about this conversation.
Yeah.
My question is, do we need to start this conversation earlier and younger? These are millennials.
Absolutely. You know, actually, we had a screening in L.A. I wish you guys had come. We had a public screening in L.A. at the Regent in downtown yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
That's why we didn't come. You didn't know when it was.
Yeah. Sorry, I've been traveling around the country. But what was stunning was how many young people were in the audience. And this 14-year-old kid got up on the stage during the Q&A and said, can I please show this film at my school?
Yeah.
I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the more we get people, young people, to talk about it without feel the moment you call somebody racist, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why don't we hear each other out before we make it?
Look,
judgment?
As guys that are on the radio, every time we say something, it's people jump to that conclusion. We must have said that because we're racist.
That's right.
I think that's the first conclusion it's the go-to.
Well, it's not the conclusion I first go to.
Well, you're doing great work, Jose. I'm glad we had a chance to have you on. The show is called White People. It airs tonight at 8 on MTV. By the way, it's also available through the MTV app on MTV.com. And starting tomorrow, you can see it on Amazon and iTunes and everywhere else as well. It's good work, sir. Great to have you on. And welcome to L.A., man. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And look into the mayonnaise thing, seriously. And it is 7:53.
Actor Chris Parnell joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, it's time for Adam Carolla. He's on the program as well. Hey, where's Mr. Iron Man? Oh, here he comes. Yeah.
Sure.
Shall we open up the phones right now for Imagine Dragons? You want to do that? Is this a good time?
I'm not giving anything away, are you, Ross?
No, sir. Go
ahead. All right.
Imagine Dragons tomorrow are going to be in the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space. You can watch it live at krock.com at 3 o'clock. But if you'd rather be there in person and be like 20 feet away from this band while they perform live, we're going to give you a chance to earn your way in. You can call us right now. You will have to be on hold for a few minutes and play a game. But get through those obstacles and you'll see Imagine Dragons. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
Justin Bieber is no longer a wanted man in Argentina.
Really?
He's welcome back anytime he wants.
Oh, we're moving the wrong direction.
Right?
Huh.
He's off Interpol's list of very bad dudes.
Bro. So it was El Chapo and then it was Justin Bieber?
Yep. There was an outstanding arrest warrant for Justin in that country after a photographer claimed that the singer had once had his bodyguards beat him up back in 2013. Then Justin didn't show up for the hearing, so they put out an arrest warrant for him. But apparently that's all been cleared up now.
How?
No details are given.
Well, that's not okay.
But now Bieber is welcome to Argentina anytime he'd like. Apparently it's all been brushed under the carpet. You know what that means? Money has changed hands. Ryan Seacrest went to some Argentinians officials.
Knocked on their door.
Knocked on it and gave him a big check and started to cry. I'm still scarred from Knock Knock Live, by the way. Never getting over it. I'll never forgive you people for making me want it.
You're going to cover it next week. That's what I'm excited about. Week two.
Nope.
Looking forward to that.
Tonight on Sci-Fi, it's Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. The third in the Sharknado franchise. Looks to be an enormous amount of fun. A bunch of great guest stars. Not only is Ian Ziering returning along with Tara Reid, but Bo Derek, David Hasselhoff, Mark Cuban as the President of the United States. You know, you look at Cuban, and then you look at Trump, and you go, I'll take Cuban every day of the week. What started as a joke now is like the best of all possible answers. Jerry Springer's in the show.
Now, Ralph, the first one was L.A., the second one was New York. Where is this? Is it did you
Washington,
D.C.?
D.C., oh. Yeah. That's why the president gets involved, Mark Cuban. And NASA gets involved, too. Chad Ochocinco apparently is a NASA technician.
I'm sorry?
When you think of space rocket scientists, you think of Chad Ochocinco. Penn and Teller apparently are also astronauts in this. You know, the usual casting.
I heard, Ralph, that Jared from Subway made an appearance and they cut it out of the movie.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Apparently had a little tiny baby shark.
Oh, jeez.
What? You people.
What indeed?
I don't know where your minds are going, but I don't like it.
Hey, baby.
Right?
Khloe Kardashian's getting a new talk show.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Khloe Kardashian, you heard me. An hour-long primetime talk show called Cocktails with Khloe. K's, by the way. K for cocktails.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because that makes it funny. Cocktails with Khloe.
That's bullshit.
It's going to be on the FYI cable channel.
What's that?
At least it's going to be easy to ignore this show because it's on the FYI channel.
So she's just going to drink?
All right. Let's try to break it down. How does FYI...
No, no, no. I'm saying you're the name of the show.
Oh, okay.
Cocktails with Khloe.
Well,
and that's it? That's the show?
No, it's going to be a dinner party.
I'll
where
have another one.
Her celebrity friends will be shown cooking, and then there will be outrageously fun party games.
Oh, man. Wow.
I can only hope it's live and that Ross from The Tonight Show and Kelly Pickler are her celebrity guests.
I feel like I'm being punked today. None of this makes any sense.
It's all real.
By the way, this FYI channel, Ralph, I just brought it up. I've never heard of any of the shows on this channel. Tiny House Nation is a show.
Oh,
don't make that face and that noise.
These little tiny houses.
That's a show.
Yeah, it's amazing because these families don't think they'll be able to sustain life in these tiny houses.
It finally happened. It's finally happened after all these years.
I want Allie to bring in clips.
I snapped. I finally just snapped.
A mini house or whatever you called it.
Tiny House Nation.
Tiny House Nation.
It's a movement.
Oh! Her face lit up. Like you said, you forgot it's Christmas morning.
Yep.
There's also one called We're Moving In.
Are they moving into Tiny House Nation? Does one follow the other?
There's one called Unplugged Nation. What's that one about,
How many Allie? Nations are on this network?
What's Unplugged Nation about?
I have not seen that.
How is that a show? You think it's just people who like don't use the internet?
Don't
for
use
a week?
Electricity.
Yeah.
Man versus Child Chef Showdown.
Hold on. Man versus Child in any kind of showdown seems wildly inappropriate. Can you wager on this?
I don't know. We got to spend some more time with the FYI channel. Apparently.
No, we don't. White man.
Oh,
okay.
I think the tiny homes, though, would interest you. It's pretty amazing what they can make in such a small space for
So these
families.
Are people who live in, like, 300 square feet.
Absolutely.
All right.
And they do a whole thing where they line up what they can keep and what they can't.
I want everyone who's listening right now.
How much time do
a
you
lot
have?
Of time.
Everyone who's single? Just listen right now. This is the cautionary tale. Fill your life up with someone and something, or else this is the person you'll become, and you'll be excited about people living in tiny houses on a channel no one's heard of.
And anybody else that was excited by the title and went, yes, like Allie did.
I bet there were one.
Take yourselves out.
How does Allie get more channels in her car than I get in my house?
No.
Well, she's got that giant dish.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
on the roof.
Yep.
It's where she also collects the rainwater to do her laundry. Hey, celebrity birthdays. I'm just tired.
Tiny House
Nation. I just want to lie down.
I just want to take a nap.
It's really good.
Shut up.
I'm emotionally exhausted. I might need a mental health break. I might need to go someplace. I might need to check in.
Where are we going?
We?
Yeah.
No.
I need to come with you.
You're what? Missing the point.
No.
I need a facility of some kind. I need a treatment facility. Selena Gomez is 23. Risa Fons is 48. David Spade is 51, as is John Leguizamo. Willem Dafoe celebrates his 60th birthday today. Don Henley and Albert Brooks are both 68. Danny Glover is 69. He is literally getting too old for this. Just like he used to say in the movies. But it's really true.
Now it's happening.
George Clinton is 74, and Alex Trebek of Jeopardy fame, 75.
You better lose yourself in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go.
Truer words are never spoken.
Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" "Ah, Mom, you're just jealous. It's them."
The Beastie Boys.
Anything else, Alex?
Sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
One of our great rappers, Alex.
It's getting hot in here, so hot. So take off all your clothes.
What's happening? Why do you
don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walked into
Sound Space. The Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock has turned into a very special place over the past few years since it opened. Man, we've seen some great bands in there, haven't we?
Yeah, it's crazy how close. Every single person is so close.
Some of our favorite groups, some of the biggest groups, including Imagine Dragons, are going to be there tomorrow afternoon. You can watch it live at krock.com starting at 3 o'clock. But if you'd rather be there in person, if you're an Imagine Dragons fan, we're going to give you a chance to win your way in right now at 1-800-520-1067. I got to warn you, though. This game is not easy.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Listeners are on the line. They want to win their way in to see Imagine Dragons. How do they do it, Mr. Announcer Man?
We will play for you the title of an Imagine Dragons song. All you need to do is identify the name of the song that we say. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. They're all backwards.
Yeah! Well, that sounds like it'd be very difficult.
It's the hardest game in the world.
All right. So we have two pairs of tickets to get in. So we may have to do a drawing if more than two people get it right, but we'll see how it goes. Mr. Announcer Man, who's our first contestant?
First up is Phil. He's a drafter.
Hey, Phil.
It's actually Bill. But I'm
hey, Bill.
It's Bill.
And he's actually a grifter.
We're going to refer to you as Phil, if you don't mind. All right, you ready? I'm going to play it twice, and then you have to tell us the name of the song.
All right.
Here you go. One more time.
Sometimes counting the syllables will help. I'm sorry, what's your guess?
Radioactive?
No, I'm sorry.
It's time.
Oh. Nice try, Phil, but thank you for calling.
Sorry, Bill, Phil. Next up is Christopher. He works in workers' comp. What happens if he gets hurt?
Hey, Christopher.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. You ready for the hardest game in the world?
Yeah.
Here's your song. Here's your song title.
The cat waiter.
One more time.
The cat waiter.
Oh, man. Radioactive?
That is radioactive.
Christopher!
Yes, it is.
Woo! I guess if enough people guess radioactive, eventually it's going to be radioactive.
Okay, here's a tip, though. No other ones are going to be radioactive.
Ah, good one. Mm-hmm. All right, Christopher is in the drawing. Who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up, we have Janelle. She's a student. She learns stuff.
Hey, Janelle.
Hi.
Janelle, what are you going to be when you grow up?
An older student.
Okay.
Just stay in school forever. I like it.
Yeah. Beats the real world. All right, we're going to play it for you twice. Listen up.
Stosh. Stosh.
It's shots.
Shots. Yeah.
Yes, it is. There has rarely been one that's closer backwards than it is forwards than that one. Congratulations, you're in the drawing.
That seems pretty easy.
It's not that hard. Next up is Cruz.
Hey, Cruz.
Hey.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Here's your title. Gonna do it twice.
Snemid.
One more time.
Snemid.
I'm gonna go with demons.
You are good, sir.
Demons.
You are good. Well done. By the way, We do a lot of contests for a lot of music-related giveaways. The Imagine Dragons contestants have been the sharpest I can remember in a long time. So many winners.
Yes, there are, Bean.
They are good.
I'm just saying, like with Omaroki yesterday, as horrible as he was, almost every single person got it. Same thing today. Usually this game's tougher than this.
Good for them.
I'm happy for Imagine Dragons.
Fans. We are as well.
Way to hit the brakes, man. Trying to do a game here.
All right.
Mr. Announcer Man.
No, let's break down the personality of Imagine Dragon fans more. I also find them to be very clean and hygienic.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Bean is very impressed by you.
You're very sharp, Doug.
Let's see. Now Doug's going to throw my whole theory to hell here. Let's see how he does.
All right, here you go.
Laura with my partner.
One more time.
Laura with my partner.
Ooh. Let's go with nothing left to say.
On top of the world.
Let me tell you, these Imagine Dragons fans suck.
They are just dull.
They can't ever get them right. They don't even try. I don't know why they're even on the line.
Next up is Brandon. He's a high school teacher.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on?
Hardest game in the world. What's going on?
I'm going to try my best.
You ready? Here you go.
Fialam Debya.
One more time.
Fialam Debya.
Okay, I'm going to go nothing left to say on that one.
Mm. I bet my life.
Oh. My life, yeah.
Sharp nice try, though.
Sharp as a tech.
I'll tell you, since Bean brought that up.
I know. I jinxed him.
Right now.
This is very sad. We have three contestants in the drawing. Christopher, Janelle, and Cruz. Unfortunately, one will be left sad because only two will win. Allie, let's have the news.
The winners are Janelle and Christopher.
Janelle, congratulations.
Yay! Thank you.
You win. And Christopher, congratulations. You win, too.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
And Cruz, you're screwed.
You know, I was thinking about this as we prepare to bring Chris Parnell onto the Kevin and Bean Show. You think about the shows that we come in and we talk about that we love. The Spoils Before Dying and Another Period and Comedy Bang Bang and Archer and Children's Hospital and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Drunk History. Just the list goes on and on and on. Chris Parnell shows up on all of them.
Yeah.
He's the comedy all-star. And he, of course, is one of the regulars on Rick and Morty, which returns to Adult Swim this Sunday night with its Season 2 premiere. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. It's so cool to be on here with you guys.
It's a pleasure to have you. I think about how much fun it must be for you to be a constantly working actor, but not to be nailed down to something that you're committed to year after year after year. I mean, every day you wake up, it must be something different. That's the coolest.
It is the coolest, you know. I got to say, I'm pretty lucky to be where I am. You know, I've got a few regular gigs, but then I get to do a lot of different things, and it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I cannot complain. I'm a lucky guy.
What's the thing that most people recognize you for on the street? I'm guessing Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock.
Well, Dr. Spaceman, I get a lot of people recognize me from Archer, actually, even though it's just a voice part, and then more and more people from Rick and Morty. SNL, of course, you know, but yeah, you never know.
For me, it's a Natalie Portman rap. For me, that's what
yeah.
it is.
Oh, for sure. Cool.
Yeah, that's the one that I know you and love you most from.
Voice work is the greatest gig in the world. Have you figured out a way to do it at home?
You know, I do my auditions at home, but I don't have like a booth set up or anything or an ISD in line, so I have to go in to record. But that's kind of okay; it gets me out of the house, you know, gets me interacting with other people.
Bean asked that because he does work out of his house and he hates leaving his house.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
it's a pretty good deal, Chris. I got to be honest. Rick and Morty is a show that we've talked about on the show. We've had Dan Harmon on, the co-creator of the show. It's an Adult Swim show that I think more people should know about. I mean, obviously you love it. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, it's this great combination of science fiction and comedy that really works. I mean, it can go anywhere in the universe. They've got these, between Dan and Justin Roiland, who created the show, we've got this amazing writing staff who, I mean, Rick has a portal, for instance, a portal gun that can open up a portal to any universe, any time, anything. So it frees the show up to go literally anywhere in space or time. So that's amazing. And then back at home, you've got like an actual real little family unit. I play Jerry the dad. Sarah Chalk plays my wife, Beth. Spencer Grammer, our daughter, Summer. And Justin plays Rick and Morty. He's my father-in-law. Morty's our son. So you got a family unit that you know, actually can have some real emotional investment in. And then Rick is this alcoholic, insane, amoral sort of character who creates trouble and solves problems. And then Morty is his hapless grandson who's along for the adventures.
Yes, it is very silly and very wrong in many cases.
Very wrong.
Dan Harmon, who I mentioned we've had on a few times, he, you know, went through that kind of public meltdown a little bit with his drinking and the on and the off and everything again with Community. Did you ever encounter that crazy Dan Harmon that we all saw in the documentary, or was he always pretty straight-up business guy when you dealt with him?
Well, I mean, I don't know that Dan is ever straight-up business guy, but, he's, you know, he's an interesting guy. I never encountered him being anything but lovely and great, but you know, he and Justin both like to drink, and so when I saw them at Comic-Con last year and then again this year, you know, there's sometimes they're a little bit in their cups.
In their cups.
Yeah,
that's my new favorite thing.
I wasn't aware of it, but I like it.
I think that's right. I might be misusing it, but yeah, you know, so they're really fun guys, you know.
They are enjoying life, that's for sure.
This
is the voice of Chris Parnell here on the Kevin Beach Show. Again, we're talking about Rick and Morty, which is coming back to Adult Swim this Sunday night, the premiere of Season 2. And by the way, you can watch all of Season 1 up on the Adult Swim website if you want to get caught up or just enjoy it. Speaking of Comic-Con, I wanted to ask you one more thing, Chris, and that is I haven't watched it yet, but I bookmarked an interview that you did with Chris Gethard down at Comic-Con last week. And in the headline it says, Chris Parnell has advice for losers. And, man, if you got you're talking to the right show here. We need help here. What is your advice for losers?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of what I said. You know, you gotta dig down deep. You gotta believe in yourself. You gotta keep going. Sometimes you gotta just not care what anybody else thinks. And, you know, also you lean on friends. You know, you reach out to friends and say when you need help. That's probably a more serious answer than you were looking for, but. And then I guess the biggest one is try not to be a loser, you know.
Try not. Yeah. So try that not to be first. A loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Advice for losers is don't be a loser. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had tremendous struggles in your career? Were there times where you thought, this isn't going to work out for me, I need a backup plan?
I have. When I moved to L.A. in 92, and I worked for 5 years at FAO Shores Toy Store in the Beverly Center, which is no longer there. And while I was doing that, I was taking classes at the Groundlings. But, you know, that took a little while. And so, yeah, there were a couple of moments where I was like, geez, what am I doing here? You know, I'm in my mid-20s, and I work at a toy store. I wear shorts and a rocking horse T-shirt. Which is not the worst job, you know, honestly, but...
You're
you know,
basically not... describing us as well, just so you know.
Yes, us now, exactly. That should be your advice for losers, by the way, is no matter how bad it seems, you know, stick with it. Eventually, you'll get there.
Yeah, you know, it's true. I realize, like, there's nothing else that I'm particularly good at, and this is what I really want to do. So, yeah, I better stick it out and keep trying. And persistence is a big part of it, you know, of making it.
Well, it's worked out for you, sir. As we mentioned, you're on almost every show we love on TV, and Rick and Morty is included in that Season 2 premiering this Sunday night at 11:30 on Adult Swim. You're very funny on the show, and it's great to have you on. I think we had you on one time before. It's been a long, long time, though. It's fun to catch up. Thank you.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris.
Adam Carolla is on your TV most Sunday nights on Spike with his show Catch a Contractor. That's at 10 o'clock in Season 3. You can see him live on stage at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach with special guest Whitney Cummings coming up on Thursday, August 6th. Tickets available now, just $25 through adamcarolla.com. And, of course, same website for all of the podcasts and whatnot. And each week, Mr. Carolla joins us for a feature that we like to call What's Your Take?
Adam Carolla.
Get it on indeed. Ace Man, how's it going, buddy?
Good for me, bad for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because that song is as good as any song they've ever produced. Just as good. It could be your favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song. The Adam Carolla theme song, which was crapped out in Studio B in 20 minutes.
20?
You think, 20,
you think Omar took 20 minutes for that?
15 minutes. Every bit as good as any Red Hot Chili Peppers you guys song you guys have ever played in the last 25 years.
Well, Omar should be pleased. That's quite a compliment. Hey, how old are...
Not complimenting Omar.
How old are little Sonny and Natalie now, Ace Man?
They are 9 years of age.
And how do you feel you're doing as a parent?
I feel I'm doing wonderfully. I just throw money at the problem. I have a full-time nanny. Every day I walk through the front door with one of those launchers they use. It's one of those T-shirt cannons
right.
at the Lakers game.
Right.
I stuff it full of 20s. I see my nanny. I fire off a shot. She gets a salvo of 20s. I see my kids sitting around. I fire a round at them. I fire a warning shot over my head and make it rain. And then I go in the room and take a nap.
All right. Well, I'm not sure if you're the right guy to pose this question to, but there's a story that is getting national attention about a diner in Portland, Maine. It's called Marcy's Diner. Are you familiar with the story, Adam?
Yes, I am. By the way, the Chinese must be sitting around just laughing in delight, like, oh, those pussies, we're going to take them over any day now. Because this is the stuff we talk about, the stuff that was commonplace. But weren't you scared of your friends' parents when you were growing up? Weren't you just scared of all adults when you were growing up?
Terrified.
Yes, of course. You never want to be yelled at by an adult. Tell folks what happened, though, for maybe folks who haven't heard the story.
The story was the family went out to eat. The kid was unruly, and the woman who was running the diner went over and told him to shut his face.
Yeah, it was a two-year-old that was screaming for, I think they said, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the owner tried to get them to leave, and they wouldn't. So she finally had enough, and she slammed her hands on the table and said, "Stop!" And it worked.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It works. There's a reason we do it. It's because it works. But, like, when I was a kid, if I was walking down the street and I passed any adult and they just said, hey, listen, put your thumb in your mouth and run in place, I would have just done it. And at a certain point, out of the side of my mouth, I would have said, when can I stop? And they would have said, I'll be back in a day, I'll tell you then. And I would have been scared to move. I've been hit in my life. I was never struck by my own parents because they didn't care enough. They were too lazy to even hit me. They were that apathetic. I was hit by two separate parents that were not mine.
What? You're kidding. Now, that sounds like that even crosses a line, even for parents who believe kind of in the group parenting thing.
Here is the mindset. I was hit by my friend Monty's mom, Roberta.
Okay.
I got smacked by her, and I got smacked by my friend Teddy's dad. And I never told either one of my parents because I thought I would get into trouble because I thought they'd say, why'd she hit you? What were you doing?
Yeah, it's your fault.
You must have done something wrong.
Right.
So this is the exact opposite of that mindset, because the reason this story has made national news and has become so controversial is there are so many people online who are criticizing the owner of the diner, saying, hey, look, it's never okay for you to discipline somebody else's children. That's the opposite of the way it was that you're describing growing up.
Well, listen, they reserve the right to refuse service to anyone and reserve the right to scream at any snot-nosed two-year-old that won't shut the F up. And the parents, listen, that kid, until that kid is 19, is basically your pet. And if your pet is running around crapping everywhere and biting people, you got to take care of your pet.
Wait, are we still talking about the diner?
I don't know anymore. I'm getting hungry, though. When we say diner one more time, I need a Denver omelet badly at this point.
Adam, what about these are parents who are maybe just examples of parents who just are not paying attention anymore. Like, they don't even hear the kids screaming for 40 minutes, right? But you have to know that was miserable for everybody else in the restaurant.
As a parent, if you bring your kids somewhere, and I know at times too, especially when you're going out at a decent place, if you're celebrating an event or something like that, you have to just have your antenna up constantly because they're in a place that's primarily adults. And the second they start whining, you gotta shut them down. I mean, listen, just pull a backpack over their head, leave enough for them to breathe, but do something. Like, pull them out in the parking lot, put their head in a mailbox.
Okay, so here's, what?
Let them yell into a mailbox, like the old-timey cartoons, you know, where someone would stomp on the guy's foot, and he'd be silent for a long time, and then he'd put his head in a mailbox and scream.
Okay, so in this case, this woman was asking the parents, please do something, please do something, ask them to leave. They did none of that. Then she yelled at the kid, you're fine with that.
I'm completely and utterly fine with it, and it'll probably be the most memorable kid, the most memorable thing on the kid's resume when he goes into the ground 81 years from now.
Well, the diner owner who did the yelling said, life is full of choices, and you've got to live with all of them. I chose to yell at a kid, and it made her shut up, which made me happy. So I think you're with her. All right, the Adam Carolla Show Live is going to be on stage in Long Beach at the Gas Lamp. It's going to be a great show coming up on August 6th with Whitney Cummings as your special guest. Tickets available now. Catch Contractor Air Sunday nights at 10 on Spike. All the details at adamcarolla.com. Thanks for your take. Have a great week, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam Carolla,
what's your take? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Just heard Lou Reed doing a Walk on the Wild Side. Was... Of course, produced by David Bowie,
yeah.
Mick Ronson.
Mm-hmm.
That was
David Bowie on sax.
Yep. Green Day.
And that's a special salute to Holly Woodlawn.
Yes.
She's been in the hospital.
Oh, no.
And she's been responding. She has...
What's that?
What?
Brain cancer.
Oh.
But she's responding, and she's actually getting better.
Great.
So we got to pray for Holly Woodlawn.
Okay.
Holly Woodlawn.
All the fans out there. Holly Woodlawn, of course, was an Andy Warhol actress.
Of course. Okay.
And the whole song was about her and Walk on the Wild Side, Lou Reed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Roddy. It is a Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, actually. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat and What's Going On.
Hollywood, Miami, FLA, hitchhike away across the USA. Is that her? That's, is that her? Is that her?
According to Rodney.
Hollywood Lund?
He would know.
I thought he was a she. Said, hey, babe, take a walk in the wild side. That's what that lyric is, right?
I don't have any idea
Come
what
on,
he's talking
Kevin,
about
give me
right
some
now.
Answers.
I got nothing.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up, a little programming note. Tonight on Showtime, there's a little documentary that I'm proud to be a part of. It's called Starring Adam West. It's the story, as you can imagine, of Batman, TV's Batman, and the mayor of Quahog on Family Guy, Adam West, actor who's had a career spanning five decades, 50 years.
Who's Adam West?
He's the guy I just talked about.
Yeah.
And so it's a story of his career and life, and also the process of getting him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, as we did a couple years back. And it's a real interesting documentary, I think, tonight on Showtime. You can check it out.
That's not up against Sharknado 3,
No, I believe there are different times. I think I think it's 7 o'clock on Showtime, and then I think 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock is Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
Does Kevin's kind words about Mr. West make an appearance in
they
the
They sure do.
Oh, they do.
They're first and foremost, early on in the documentary.
No, but not really.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I wish I had the trailer to play for you right now. It's the first thing in the trailer. Do we have that, Chip? Are you looking right where Kevin says, you're a guy.
I got it.
Oh, you
I
got it?
Okay.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over eight? 1969? When was?
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ali saying to an actor?
That's in the documentary. When they show the dark side of
fame?
Of Adam's life, what he has to put up with. Sometimes they feature you.
Kevin, God damn it.
You peaked in, what was that, 68?
We were all joking around, though.
Now,
I mean,
right?
Context, right? We were all joking
around, having
a good time.
No, we weren't.
Laughing.
At all. There was nothing leading in that direction
I remember
all.
Us all
you,
laughing
you
about
jumped
something.
Out of that plane with your own parachute, son.
Look, most of the time, Kevin says dumb things, and I just roll my eyes and go, well, it's the monkey for you.
Right.
I gasped at this.
Yeah.
I was so
embarrassed. We were all
embarrassed.
Joking
and laughing
and
having a good time.
That was a hurtful one.
How dare you?
It was a kick to the gut.
Inappropriate.
Especially since we all, including Kevin, love Adam West so much and enjoy spending time with him so much.
See,
that's why shooting him in the head just seemed inappropriate.
You're peaked. You're irrelevant, is what you were saying to him. Since 1968, you have been irrelevant.
It's possible that I misspoke. I said it poorly.
It's not possible. Not for you.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's true. I'm pretty rock solid.
Speaking of Batman.
I just think you're terrific.
All right.
Speaking of Batman, there's a new guy moving into Gotham.
Yes.
Am I allowed to be happy about
that? Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yes, you are. Because it's not about tiny houses.
This is about a thing that people actually watch and enjoy, Allie. You're moving in the right direction. Michael Chiklis is his name.
Ah.
See, I thought the yes would come there after we talked about who it was. That's why I was taken aback.
I've
just like I said, a new guy's moving to Gotham. Could have been Ted Bundy's moving into Gotham. She's like, yes.
No, so, I already congratulated him on Twitter. I follow him.
See, friends of Swampy?
Yes.
It's happening.
Chiklis will play Captain Nathaniel Barnes on the show. He is part of the Gotham City Police Department.
And I already congratulated him on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
Ralph, right.
I had no idea you were such good friends. Well, you guys are pals. Uh-huh. Naturally, it makes sense that you would do that.
Mm-hmm. It was my idea to have him go on that show.
Was it really? Did you tell Dr. Drew that?
That's correct.
This is unnecessary. Emoji the movie? We don't need Emoji the movie, do we?
That's going to really have to be in some talented hands to make that work.
Emoji
oh,
the movie.
Oh, my God.
Sony Pictures Animation won a bidding war, apparently.
Nope, there was no bidding war.
There was, to land the characters of the emojis.
Is it a... I don't know anything about this, Rob. Is it a family of emojis? I mean, are they...
You want to know the storyline of Emoji the movie?
I'm just wondering, how do you turn that into a movie? I'm wondering, do you think they make each little emoji kind of like they did in Inside Out with the you know, the parts of the brain? Do you think each little emoji is a person who's living in an emoji world? Do you think that's what's happening? I'm just trying to...
You think I have any inside information on what the Emoji movie is?
Because you read the source material before you brought us the story
material
on the air.
Oh, I read the Emoji book that this is based on?
No. I mean, whatever article you are reading that talks about the Emoji
movie. About a three-studio bidding war between Warner Brothers, Paramount, and Sony to make the Emoji movie. There's no other details. They have the rights to emojis, and they're going to make the Emoji movie.
I feel like it's Bean's goal, every showbiz, to ask one question that pushes Ralph over the edge.
It's Stump. It's Stump Ralph.
I think it is.
This game.
It is. It's called Stop Showbiz.
Is there a prize? Does he win something if he can come up with some inanity that I have no response to?
The compliment, Ralph, is that I believe that you know the answers to all these questions.
Well,
that
you're
I
wrong.
Ask.
You're wrong every time you ask a question.
I look at you as the Hollywood expert.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you've had me fooled then, because I thought...
He's gonna know!
No!
Well, what do you guys think the Emoji movie's gonna be about?
I don't care!
Or no.
Don't you...
What?
No.
What?
What I want.
No. You want the Emoji movie?
Yeah. All right, here's what's going to happen now.
Yes, right.
We're going to talk about people having birthdays.
All right.
We're all going to slowly back out of the room, all right?
Just move on.
Nobody
like
has
ever
to get hurt.
All right.
Nope.
No way.
Nobody has to
do
get
not
hurt.
Do that to us.
What? Isn't it? It has
do
to
not.
Be.
Everybody, put the weapons down and slowly back out.
It's only
out.
Wednesday.
It has to be time to go.
I have to go tweet Michael Chiklis some congratulations. I got to get out of here quickly. We have a relationship.
So, Ralph, the emojis are a family?
I will. I'm not. I will pull the pin, and I will take the whole place out, including myself. Alex Trebek, 75 years old today.
Now that it's raining more than ever, you can stand under my umbrella, Ella.
George Clinton is 74 years old. Danny Glover, 69. Albert Brooks and Don Henley are both 68 today. Willem Dafoe turns 60. John Leguizamo celebrates his 51st birthday today. David Spade is also 51. Reese Ifans celebrates his 48th birthday. And singer Selena Gomez is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. Listening to Rodney on the Rock. Just heard Smokey. He was the house band.
It's Passion Pit.
English disco. And Randy Rhoads was on guitar.
Oh, really?
And that's Smokey doing Leather. Yeah, he played at the English Disco. Zolar X played.
Oh,
and of course, Iggy and the Stooges
it's
played
like 40
there
years
as
ago?
Well.
Right. 50?
I only had a few bands that actually played.
That's business at the disco
played
these
records
days.
And had guest DJs, and I DJed. And played a lot of glitter, glam rock.
Still full?
Anyway,
busy?
Smokey,
leather.
Okay. Glad we got to hear that and that update, too, about what it was like 50 years ago.
I would
ago.
Give anything to hear Rodney the DJ at a club. Can you imagine?
Yes. It'd be awesome.
Put your hands in the air like you don't care.
I don't think it was the same, Kevin, as DJs today. I don't think he was doing the same kind of work. I think he was playing a record.
Right.
And then he would start a second record, and then that would be the next song he would play.
You don't think he caked any of the audience?
No.
Yeah, you don't think there was any in-between commentary?
Building up the beats or anything. I don't think he was doing any. There was no lasers going off. It was just him and a close-and-play phonograph and some 45s.
So, you have no imagination,
well,
sir.
Well, I'm telling you how it was. Okay.
Don't you know what I want.
Okay. Right?
It is time for our final look at the showbiz beat here for a Wednesday morning. Here's Ralph.
Well, here's the good news.
Okay.
Looks like America wasn't sucked in by this knock-knock live BS that Fox was trying to sell us.
Oh, you saw ratings?
Yep.
Okay.
The rating in the 18 to 49, the coveted 18 to 49 demographic, knock-knock live scored a 0.5.
Oh.
That's bad, right?
That's real bad.
Let's just say it came in after Univision.
Yay!
That's fantastic.
Wait a minute. What's the good news? No, that was the good news?
Yes!
This is good news, bad news.
The good news is that America is rejecting Knock Knock Live, Kevin.
All right, what's the bad news then?
I didn't say there was any bad news.
Maybe you started by saying you had good news.
He said, here's the good news.
Right.
Right.
That doesn't, you guys don't think, okay, and then there's also bad news?
So the bad news was the whole break we did on the freaking Knock Knock Live show that was on television last night. That was the bad news. It was a horrible show. Here's the good news. Here's the ratings. Nobody watched.
I'm not following you. Trying.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was a great moment. I'm not asking. I don't expect you to help me, Kevin. I just ask that you don't work against me when I'm trying to do something.
I have that covered. Bean and I have that covered.
Ralph came in and sat down and said,
"Calm down.
I've got some good news."
Right. I've got some good news. I was bringing good news. Well, then what's the bad news? That didn't even come up. There was no announcement about pending bad news. So that was bad news? Good news? What kind of news was that? Just don't even say anything.
Just be quiet.
Just relax. Take a little time.
I feel like I'm helping.
Take a little me time, Kevin. Just get back on the yoga mat in the corner there. Misspell some tweets. Eat some cookies. Just do what you do.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Just let us be over here doing this.
I feel like I'm trying to help, Ralph. Come on, man. We're still friends.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
I believe that to be true.
Don't watch the news.
All right.
Because I'm a kid.
That's right. NBC finished first with America's Got Talent and Hollywood Game Night. They had the big night last night. Knock Knock Live, not so much.
Are you surprised, Ralph, as I am, at the success of Hollywood Game Night? Such a throwback to a 1970s-style primetime show.
I would be, unless I had watched it. And then I understand it completely, because it is an enormously fun television program.
Really?
Enormously fun.
It just looks like the squarest thing in the world.
Have you watched it?
I have not.
I recommend you watch it. Watch one episode.
What's the surprise about it?
There's no surprise about it at all.
But isn't it just...
That's the thing. It's not high concept. It's not, ooh, knock, knock, live. We're going to knock on somebody's door live and make them pick up money with a poop scooper. It's not... There's no high concept.
I would watch that show.
But it's Christina Applegate playing Pictionary, right?
No. There's a bunch of different party games that they play. But these are funny, enormously likable celebrities having the time of their lives. They enjoy themselves, genuinely enjoy themselves, and that joy is infectious as you watch them have a good time. And they're raising money for charities as well.
Okay.
Like Chiklis was on last night. He is a guy who's...
I already tweeted him about that.
A big, burly guy, right? Not, you don't expect him to be silly, just goofy, just having the time of his life. It's an enormously fun show.
So that's the fun, is you get a chance to see likable celebrities enjoying themselves.
Genuinely really enjoying themselves versus the artificiality of a lot of reality television where everyone's sort of pretending. Even when they're on talk shows, they're all selling a movie or whatever, and it all seems so forced. This seems like people really enjoying themselves. And yes, it is a throwback, but it is there's genuine, real emotion going on.
But what's the
real
bad
happiness.
News? There's no bad news. There's got to be some bad
there
news.
There doesn't have to be bad news. While we're talking about Chiklis, he has been added to the cast of Fox's Gotham. He will be playing Captain Nathaniel Barnes, a new member of the Gotham City Police Department. He really comes in and shakes things up.
Well, there's a lot of corruption in that police force. Somebody's got
to
do it.
Right? Yes. Right? Deadwood needs to be cleaned out of the GCPD, and he's just the man to do it. And apparently he will be a strong ally to Jim Gordon, Ben McKenzie. So those guys will be working together for the good.
Does Jada Pinkett Smith's character have a comment?
I don't think that this man can come into Gotham and change things for the better.
Rope's got
that
crazy eyes.
Is nice.
I don't think Fish is around anymore. Fish is gone.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I miss the fish. Speaking of fish, Sharknado 3 tonight. Oh, boom! Segway! Segway!
It was a segue.
It sure was. Sharknado 3, oh hell no. Debuts tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. You want to check that out. For sure.
You're being very generous, by the way, with your recommendation of the Sharknado, knowing that you have Lavalantula cocked up, ready to go.
What? Hey, language. What's happening?
You haven't even seen it yet. There's no need for you to start cursing about it. Dude.
I'm just saying it would be easy
Take
for you to shun them because you want to keep the focus on your disaster summer movie, but you got room for both in your heart, and I respect that.
It's all part of the same family. It's Sharknado okay. 3 tonight, and then on Saturday night, you've got Lavalantula. And
this
weekend. I believe tonight's Sharknado show might be laden with promos for Lavalantula. Oh. So, you know, you watch that.
It's a big week, man.
It's the biggest. But where's the bad news? That's what we all want to know.
It's a great question.
Where's the bad news?
Don't you
what?
Know yeah. what I want.
Right.
No.
I'd like Kevin and Rodney to team up on Sunday nights. I would like to hear that program. I think that'd be good. That'd be helpful for everyone.
I'd like to have the two of them on Hollywood Game Night.
Yes. Playing Pictionary. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alex Trebek is 75 years old today.
I got more. I felt like I was pushing my luck with it. You want some more Alex? I got some more Alex.
I just assumed it was coming, so I left you
a
window.
I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. Another plane, another train, another bottle in the brain. Never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping.
How much you want? I mean, I got it. I got it all day. I'd like it all day.
You go ooh and ah when I jump in my car. People treat me like girls, 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 long legs and burgundy lips. Girls, 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 dancing down on the Sunset Strip. Girls, girls, girls.
He's still got it, man.
He is. He's the best cover band working today. He's 75. George Clinton is 74. Danny Glover turned 69. Albert Brooks, funny man Albert Brooks, 68 years old today. Don Henley is also 68. Willem Dafoe is 60. John Leguizamo is 51 today, as is David Spade. Risa Fons, 48 years old today. And Selena Gomez celebrates her 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do we have time for the beer mug interview with Selena Gomez? Because I think it's very revealing.
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez! Selena! God damn it!
That guy's in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, and well-deserved.
And getting paid to be there.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we talk sports with Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew back on the program. We talk to you if you're a dumpster diver. If that's where you get your food, from dumpsters, we'd like to talk to you. I don't know if you watched American Ninja Warrior, but one of those guys pretty much full-time eats out of dumpsters. And he's a pretty good competitor as well, Ralph.
All right.
Anthony Ferrante will also be in the studio talking about Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. And thanks for that tweet, Bean. Tomorrow morning.